Welcome to the We Are Here podcast, a podcast all about entrepreneurship on the South Coast, collecting stories and lessons from entrepreneurs and community leaders to learn firsthand how they've built their business or organization so we can build our own. The South Coast is a small place, and we're letting the business world know that we are here. Show your support by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/thewearehere podcast and join the newsletter for all of our latest announcements and upcoming episodes at southcoast.fm/subscribe. That's southcoast.fm/subscribe. Hey everyone, welcome back to the We Are Here podcast live stream. You know, Ross, I was calling it a special live stream before, but there's not so much special going on right now. Well, except for you, of course, as my last guests reminded me. This is the South Coast FM podcast. You can find us at southcoast.fm, southcoast.fm/subscribe. Join that mailing list so you know when all the happenings are happening on the podcast. Ross Nunes, for folks who don't know who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Ross Nunes. I am the owner of Salon B. I'm a resident of New Bedford, and I am currently a salon owner. Oh, the owner of a salon that is temporarily closed.
We're going to talk about some of that stuff today and the impact that this COVID-19 has had on the community at large, and specifically on this show, the small business community. If you're watching live, I'm dropping in a link. If I know how to use computers, there it is. dropping in a link in the chat there. This is a survey that we put out, started last week. It has about, at this point, 30-ish folks on it, small business owners, Ross included, who have listed the impact of COVID-19 on their small business. If you have a moment, take a look at that survey. See who's, shared their story. If you know one of these business owners, reach out, help them out, support their businesses if you can. If you're still a small business and you haven't taken the survey, if you have a moment and you do feel like sharing, collectively, we can kind of use this data to see who's impacted and what we can all do to better support you in the event we come out of this, hopefully sometime soon. All right, Ross, your situation. Recently closed down the salon. And you have a targeted open date, which you're just guesstimating at this point, of April 1st. What's it all like unraveling through this scenario for you?
Sure. So, I would say like beginning of last week, we had kind of ramped up the, how we were sanitizing the salon, keeping the salon clean, just like everybody else was. We were doing that, really trying to stay on top of things with that, having our clients come in, wash their hands before we service them, cleaning every station and cape in between every client, taking the magazines away, not offering beveages. And, the decision to close came when I was on the phone with my mother, who was the previous owner of the salon, and I was talking to her, and she asked me, she said, "Ross, what are your plans for the upcoming week?" And I think that was like probably Monday of this week. And I said, some of the stylists want to work, I'm going to stay open until they shut us down. And I said, I wish they just would, so it would take that decision, out of my hands. So when I got off the phone with her, I thought to myself, I said, I'm not doing exactly what the state's not doing for me to take that decision out of my hands for my stylists. As the leader of my team and the owner of my business, I felt it was important for me to make that decision for my stylists and for my guests not to come in. Terrible decision, totally difficult. Having to tell people that they were going to have to, collect unemployment and be laid off temporarily is something that I can't imagine any business owner finds any pleasure in. So we closed Tuesday evening. We let our clients know on Tuesday that we were going to be closing until at least April 1st. If it's longer than that, we'll see. Right now it's April 1st. And I think kind of setting an earlier date helped the workload for my staff and the small time that we had to get in touch with clients, because it gave us, luckily everything that we have is now on the cloud for people that have salon software. I can access the appointment book and client phone numbers from my house and then, call them if the closure gets extended. Some salons don't have salon software, and that's, that's something that we've had, since the 90s, I believe. But some salons still don't have it. And it definitely is going to make the situation of working from home much more difficult for them. So you know, I can only imagine how difficult it is for me, but for someone that doesn't have Salon software, how difficult it'd be for them.
Yeah. I mean, technology, it's, you know, I don't know the proper way to state it, but it's sort of ironic. Like, I've been doing web digital stuff, consulting for so long, and video conferencing and having these face to faces for me, it's just what I do, right? It's just like common nature for a lot of people. Like, they're now having to turn to technology for the first time in 2020. You know, some more advanced technologies like right. Zoom or live streaming stuff like this. And maybe even like you, like, oh my God, like all of my accounting software is literally on a computer in an office that I can no longer get to. Right. You know, now seeing a reinvestment in this space is going to be, you know, again, once we get out of this, better for these small businesses in the long run, once they can hop onto some of this stuff from a continuity and disaster recovery scenario.
And I think a scenario like this has probably showed people who don't have, you know, Salon software or have invested in that yet, that it's something that's going to be necessary going forward, because with a situation like this, it does leave them at a standstill. So I think a lot of people will be reevaluating, you know, how they've integrated technology within their business.
Yeah. We do have a few questions coming in. If you're watching the live stream, go ahead and pop in some questions and we'll get them answered in just a short moment. Let's try to do this like sort of roller coaster storytelling on this live stream, Ross. Let's start with something that is more of like a positive outlook. Like, what do you think you, we'll talk about the things that you're maybe like cutting back and giving up to keep things afloat while the doors are closed. What do you think people should keep doing, right? And maybe even specifically salon owners, barbers, anybody who's doing this, you know, one-on-one engagement with a proprietor and customer. What do you think they should keep doing right now? Storytelling, keeping things going, live streaming. Like, what is it in your world?
Absolutely. So I think if they are still operating business right now, that they should close. I think that it's, it is dangerous. It's dangerous to be, you know, that close to your client base, at this time, you know, unless, you know, Sean Bradley or George Murison or Akeem Olajuwon work for you and they can stay 6 feet away with their wingspan, you're in danger, you know, you're in danger. So that's something I would recommend all salons and barbers. I know that it's a terrible decision to make, but I think it's a necessary one. To stay positive, I kind of said this to, you know, some of my staff. I said, we have challenges on a weekly basis. And I think when you look at this, and if you come out on the other end of this, when we are able to come back to work and our clients are able to be welcomed back to, you know, our salon home, those things that challenge you on a weekly basis before are going to seem very, very small. You know, you're going to be able to say, you know, we got through that. Like, we can probably most likely get through anything. So I think that's really important. I think if you have content to post, which I know a lot of my stylists were gearing up for closure by capturing more content before we closed, use that. If you have old content, recycle that content. I think in just telling people how this personally affects you and how we're all in it together and kind of telling your story and, staying in touch with your client base. For me, the most important thing that I have found so far throughout this, and we're still in the early stages, is trying to be completely transparent and having an open line of communication with my staff. I want them to know exactly what is going on. If there's something that I can do to help them, I'm trying to help them. If there's something that I cannot do, I'm letting them know that that's something that is out of the question. I just want them to have realistic expectations of what I can do for them as, you know, the leader of this business. And I really think you need to be in touch with your staff 100% to really ease some of the concerns and anxieties that they have currently.
Yeah, I mean, this is for years, and as you well know, like being involved with like eFrall and just business owners and entrepreneurism in the South Coast, in your career, you know, there's been a lot of people who have been business owners specifically who just never really took to social media, right? For many different reasons, right? Some of the times, like that whole transparency thing isn't really baked into their core. They don't understand sort of, you know, posting and people reacting and sort of sharing the story. But now it's more important than ever, right? To keep that pulse going for, like you said, your customers, but also, you know, for your staff.
Yeah. Right?
And if you're putting out some direction, even if the doors are closed, well, it's better than doing nothing, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
And one thing that I've kind of talked to my staff about is, in their downtime, you know, we have subscriptions to different education services and, you know, thousands of dollars invested in online education. So, you know, we're pretty good about, if we have downtime here at the salon, to, you know, always be watching video, learning new techniques. But I know that with, you know, the huge library that we have for them to access, there's something that they haven't watched. A lot of brands, you know, and leaders in our industry are offering free education during this time, knowing that stylists are down right now. So that's been a huge help. I know my rep Marie just sent me that Sam Veeler and Chris Barron are doing a cutting class, a 3-hour cutting class coming up. Oligo is having, you know, balayage classes and, you know, brunette and blonding classes. So all of those things are really important, and to have the support of our industry, where they know that we're down right now and unable to work, you know, to have that value in education being provided to us is really important.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of, you know, larger, well, again, like in my world in sort of software and technology, you know, even folks like Zoom, which is now sort of very, very popular for these online videos and conferencing, sort of lifting the limitations that's normally there, you know, giving people more for free because, you know, they get through this hard time. Have you started to think of anything, and not to put you on the spot, but have you started to think of new ways for the business to generate revenue, right? Have you started to think maybe there's something you can sell, I don't know, online, or something that you can do that's not just the in-person, you know, coming into the salon and, you know, providing services for somebody?
Yeah, so right now, you know, with it being so early on, you know, I have thought of a few things. You know, I'm going to get in touch with my rep from who represents, you know, the brands that we carry, to see if there's any way that maybe we can provide our clients a link where they can shop online, and maybe we would get a percentage of those sales by generating those client leads. I have to say, like, our client base, and this is something that does get me a little emotional, but our client base is really, really amazing. We have an amazing client base. You know, we did kind of put out the bat signal to our clients and kind of ask them, you know, if they saw it in their financial power only to, you know, pre-purchase a gift card to prepay for their next visit, or to pre-tip their stylist on Venmo. Those are things that we asked right off the bat, and our clientele has, you know, really responded amazingly by getting in touch with us or purchasing gift cards online. So that's really helped us earlier on. The reason that we're closed is to minimize follow the guidelines of social distancing, you know. So I'm here right now just grabbing a few things to bring home with me that I think I might need from the salon. And then I don't really plan on being here all that much until we reopen. I really want our guests and our staff to stay healthy and stay safe. That's the biggest thing. So I think, you know, on Thursday mornings, we have a clientele that some people might call like an older clientele. I call them like our wise, very, very wise clientele. And they come from a generation of being really, really tough. You know, they've gone through things that have challenged their, you know, their generation at the time. And I think a lot of them wouldn't want to let their stylist down and power through and come in when they are even the most, you know, susceptible to this and how this is most dangerous for them. So to make that decision to have them, you know, out of the salon was huge. You know, I'm a salon brat. You know, I used to be at my mother's first salon when I was 6 years old, jumping off the railings out in the lobby. And I grew up with all these people. You know, my mother has a stylist, Mary Jane, who's worked for her for 38 years. She started with her right after when she got out of vocational school. That is totally unheard of. And that's what this, so much loyalty, you know, so many stories. You know, when you see someone every 4 weeks or every 6 weeks, you've literally gone through surgeries, weddings, deaths, births, And I don't think a lot of industries can say that. So I think that's a really, really amazing thing about our industry. And that's why I'm confident that we're going to be able to kind of, you know, survive, you know, this, you know, this horrible thing that's happening to so many businesses, you know, with a clientele that's so loyal.
So I have your website up on the screen for those of you watching. It's salonbhair.com. If you go to the website, click on the gift cards link, it's going to take you to the gift card store, right? And you can buy those gift cards, you know, right online. Amy Martin asked how, thanks for sharing your story, Ross. What can the public do to help? Gift cards for future use. I think you've already answered that. Yeah. And then maybe even, and then maybe just staying, top of mind, or keeping you top of mind through the social channels. And then Bobby Hinckley, gift cards are always helpful. So again, salonbhair.com. Go ahead and click on the gift cards if you want to order up some of the Salon B gift cards. Yeah, to echo your statement, Ross, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. You know, South Coast has always been interesting, right? So I grew up in the car industry. My family owned car dealerships in the local area. And just like you, there was a family, obviously a family-run business, but much more the staff, right? Much more the staff working with our dealership for all of their entire lives. Right? Never had another job than just the dealership, right? Yeah. And this is just phenomenal. And that's what makes it, I believe, the South Coast an interesting place. We're sort of stuck in the middle. This is sort of one of the running topics that I always have in normal shows, in the normal context of, yeah, of happy entrepreneurialism. South Coast is sort of stuck in the middle. We're south of Boston by an hour and a half, 4 hours if there's traffic, and then sort of you know, stuck wedged in there between Providence. And it's not, you know, we're not too big, we're not too small. It's sometimes just sort of stuck in the middle. But the one, you know, the one thread that weaves through the fabric there is that it's there is a lot of that family feel, right? And even, yeah, just like you, you know, saying that earlier before we started, you know, you're in a group text now or a group chat with other salon owners.
Yeah.
So now your enemy has become your friend, and they probably were never your enemy to begin with, right? Yeah. They're probably all, you know, all you know, sort of just in this business thing together. That's a good movement. That's a good thing. And I know of other folks doing that too. Have you seen other organizations of businesses come together to sort of unite and help each other out?
I can't really speak on that, you know, because a lot of my social media is dominated by the industry that I'm in. So, you know, I've just seen so much of, you know, so much of my industry coming together. And, you know, some of us are on the same page. Some of us are closed. Some people are still open. But I think the one thing that we all know is that as much as we like to think, our business is not essential. There are people that are having to leave their houses, you know, when they feel uncomfortable to enter a workplace that's essential. So it's important that we recognize that as much as we would love to believe that we are essential at a time like now, we are non-essential. And we need to stay home to protect the people that are entering the wild as essential, you know, essential employees.
Yeah. And let's talk about some of the tactics that you've put in place. Again, before we started the show, maybe just cutting back some things that are not essential to your business and maybe applying for certain things. Can you speak on some of the things you've just put in place in the temporary short term to, you know, get you to at least into April to start thinking about, you know, maybe restructuring in the future?
Sure. So the most important thing is that when we reopen, I can welcome every staff member that I was forced to lay off back to the salon with employment. That's my number one goal. So I've gone through my expenses. I have looked at, you know, my variable and fixed expenses and seen what can either be reduced or can go away completely at this time. I was able to work with my payroll company to get my staff paid earlier. So they will be paid on Monday of this upcoming week rather than Friday. And I tried my best. It was my first rodeo. Luckily, that's a blessing, kind of navigating through the unemployment process, and was able to, I'm pretty sure, get all of my employees filed for, you know, unemployment benefits. There are some in our industry, you know, renters who are, to my knowledge, that are going to have a very hard time collecting unemployment in a time like this. And I think that's why we do see, some salons that are still open. And I understand the, you know, the hardship that you know, not being able to apply for unemployment presents to them. You know, those are the risks of, you know, entering business, you know, for yourself, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. First rodeo for a lot of people, I'd say.
I hope my mother filed for unemployment on Tuesday, and you can put that on the list of things I thought I'd never have to do.
Right. Thinking about the rebound, you're thinking right now, tentatively, April 1st, it may go beyond. So how are you keeping a pulse on this? If other business owners, maybe there's a resource you're tapped into that you're watching every day, aside from the news, is there something else that you're watching that might help other business owners?
So luckily, I've been involved in some political campaigns in the past. So I do have some close friends who either work in the state delegation or at a city level. And I'm just trying to, you know, send them messages and see if maybe they have any information for me. You know, they've pointed me in the direction of, you know, the SBA loans, which is something that we're looking into right now. And also kind of just keeping me informed if there's been any changes as far as, you know, openings or restrictions. So really just trying to stay on top of things, not trying to keep the news stations on all day. It's one of those things where it's like, it just gets really, really, you know, defeating. Just, you know, tune in here and there, get the updates, maybe watch like a 30-minute cycle, and then kind of just try to do something, you know, productive. You know, I've been looking, I just came down here today and updated some of my inventory. So I'm going to go home and kind of update that. I'm working on some, you know, new graphic design things that we needed going forward as far as like business cards and brochures and pamphlets, listing of prices. So I've been kind of just trying to just play around with those things, keep myself busy and productive. And, you know, if I am able to get back down here at some point, you know, I might, you know, schedule one day for like a painting party. Maybe a party of one, but you know, I'll repaint what needs to get done around here and kind of just do the practical things right now to make, you know, the business better than when it closed down.
Hey, a bucket of paint, 3 bottles of wine is going to make for a hell of a live stream on your Facebook page. So
yeah, right.
Oh man, Ross, thanks for taking the time to help each other out. You know, that's another point here is, you know, if it is tough, it is difficult. If you can help out other people as well, that'll sort of lift that weight off of your chest or shoulders, you know, by giving somebody else an extra hand here or there in their business or supporting them somehow.
Yeah. And when your favorite small business, if they're closed or they're working, you know, with diminished services, you know, I just ask everybody and I'm going to definitely practice what I preach. You know, go to that restaurant, you know, get a meal, maybe buy a gift card for your next visit when you return. You know, we're all going to need a massage, you know, at the end of this. Call your massage therapist, get something scheduled now in the book so they can kind of look and forecast what their income is going to look like when this all gets better. You know, those are just a few examples of how we can, you know, kind of support each other in the business world. And I think also too, I don't have children myself, but I know that this is like a scary time for everybody. So I can only imagine, you know, how scary this can be for kids. So I think it's really important to how we talk about this in front of kids as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I have 3 young children, 3 under 3, just about. And luckily they don't understand what's going on with it yet. But I've watched more Frozen 2, Ross, than I've ever imagined that I could.
Next time I see you, I'm gonna quiz you. I'm gonna see if you can recite it for me.
It's salonbhair.com. Go there, grab a gift card if you want to continue to support the efforts by Ross, his family, his staff. Salonbhair.com. And look, when you come out the other end, there's nothing like ordering a large cheese pizza from your favorite pizza joint, get a blowout at Salon B and a massage all at the same day. It's going to be an amazing ride once we
I'm going to have a me day. I'm going to spoil one day, get myself a pizza and a massage and a couple other things, you know. So, but I just want to say one thing to my staff. I'll say, I love you guys. I miss you. And can't wait to get you guys back in here. Same thing with my guests. I can't wait to have you all back here.
Susie George gives you a thumbs up and a heart, and along with Zach Midwood, you go, Ross. So
hey,
thanks.
Hey, Susie.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. It's southcoast.fm. It's the We Are Here podcast. Subscribe at southcoast.fm/subscribe to stay connected to the podcast. Go ahead and leave questions. And if you're watching this later in the day, this is obviously recorded. It will then go out audio to the podcast. But if you have other questions, go ahead and pop them in the comments below, and Ross we'll creep on over there and answer those questions later on today. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you.